There are now more than 1,000 reported cases of Ebola in Liberia, and more than 620 people have died. But the disease is also taking a heavy toll on those left behind. NPR's Nurit Eisenman visited one woman in a rural area near Liberia's capital of Monrovia.
Amanda Ellis is sitting on a blue plastic chair in a dirt yard in front of her house. She's 79, dressed in a brown and white striped dress, her gray hair in cornrows. She looks worn out. Over the last 2 months, five members of Ellis's family have died of Ebola, including two of her daughters, Thelmarine and Rose.
You so take care of me.
They used to take care of me, she says, and she starts to cry. Thelmarine was the first to go. She was 58. She contracted Ebola after taking care of a friend who was infected at a hospital where both of them worked as nurses. When Thelmarine got sick, her sister Rose came over to her house to tend to her. That's how Rose got infected.
She was easy, always joke, laugh.
Ellis says she was there when Rose showed the first symptoms. She points to a small whitewashed house a few yards from her own. Rose lived there with her husband. She told her mother she had a stomach ache. Ellis gave her warm water and took her to a clinic several times.
Yes, I took care of her.
She took care of her, but Rose's decline was swift. Ellis remembers how she collapsed in the bathroom.
She would come in the bathroom to take bath and she just dropped.
Ellis says her daughter tried to console her as she lay dying.
She said to me, Oma, Mama, God will bless you, yeah?
God will bless you, Rose told her. But Ebola wasn't done with Ellis's family. It turned out Thelmarine had infected her daughter, Sharon, and Rose had infected her husband. Within days, both of them were dead, too. Another of Ellis's granddaughters, who lives in a different town, also fell ill and died. The body of Rose's husband lay in the whitewashed house next to Ellis's for several days. Ellis takes them off on her fingers.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
When the body collectors finally showed up, they sprayed the house with disinfectant. That was the last time anyone entered it.
Nobody there now.
Ellis says it's too upsetting to go in. Sometimes she cries herself to sleep.
Sundays in there, I can't sleep. I would cry.
Ellis herself never got sick. She's long past the 21 days it takes to know if someone exposed to an Ebola patient has contracted the disease themselves. But now, she's facing fear and rejection. Her neighbors want nothing to do with her.
We say Ebola, everybody will run.
When you say Ebola, she says, everyone runs away. It started at the local market. Ellis earns her living there, selling mangoes from some trees at the edge of her yard. But when she shows up, the other sellers shoo her away. Go, you have Ebola, they say.
Everybody shot me.
They won't buy her mangoes, and they won't let her buy their food either. At best, they'll take her money at arm's length.
If they do take the money, they will stand far distant from you, stretch your hand.
But she says the worst part, the most painful part, is that not one person other than her surviving relatives has come to comfort her.
No comfort. No comfort.
She's lived in this place her whole life. She knows everyone here, and everyone knows her. Yet at her hour of greatest need, the friends and neighbors she always expected to count on have deserted her.
I'm a stranger. That nobody know me. I'm a stranger.
And this is the curse of Ebola. It's a disease that doesn't just strike down healthy adults in their prime, that doesn't just decimate entire families. It's a disease that sows a paralyzing fear through the wider population, that prompts otherwise kind, neighborly people to draw away from the survivors, leaving many family members of those who die bereft, not just of their loved ones, but of their community, utterly alone.
So it makes me feel very, very bad. Very bad. Very bad. Very, I ask God, why I should live?
So, Ellis says, I ask God, why should I live? Nurit Eisenman, NPR News, Monrovia.